This week is going to be about embracing the hope of God, a hope that does not disappoint going into 2018. And the next week is going to be embracing faith, the faith of God that produces results, that brings progress into our life, and you know, how to walk in the rest of God while you're standing and believing the promises of God. Amen. Before I start real quick, I just want to let you know there's some sheets I laid around on the seats that are just some really good tips on how to stick to your goals, how to have success for your goals in life. And that's from insuccess.com. The information is at the bottom. These are really good little tips. There's some websites there that you can go to get some more information if you'd like, and they'll help you grow and be successful, more successful in every area of your life. Amen? Well, my friend Jan Kuhn made this beautiful framed saying for me, and that's what I'm believing for 2018. Amen? Can everybody see that? Let's give her a hand. She's so positive. She's such a blessing. I remember just kind of when they were first coming and everything, they had a lot of challenges in front of them, and they have just been so victorious, and they're doing so great. And I'm so excited because I've seen them walk in the faith of God and to believe God. So I have a little video I saw on Facebook that I thought was so hilarious. So can you play that video, Adam, real quick? I don't know why it just made me laugh. I thought y'all might get a kick out of it. Oh, we don't have it? Oh, okay. Oh, well, plan B. That's okay. It was a video of a cat. It's the funniest thing. If you do Facebook, you can look on my page. It's laying with this like bowl, and it has a ping pong ball in it on its back. It's huge, and it's just flipping the ball around and around. So that's what I'm doing for the rest of December. So you can do that, too, if you want. You got less than 24 hours. But anyway, so I want to speak today and next week, basically in a nutshell, on bringing your vision to action. Vision to action for 2018. And it's so wonderful at the beginning of a new year, you can just kind of push the reset button sometimes when you need to. I mean, I always need to every year. I don't know about you all. One thing that will help us facilitate going from A to B into a new year is to actually push that reset button every single day and to get some time with the Lord and to seek the Lord and just let the Lord speak into our lives. And the Bible says, as the songs, some of the songs were just so perfectly in tune with what I'm going to be speaking on this morning, is God's mercies are new every morning. He's so good to us. Every day we can just reset with Him. And it's not just to go in there and to perform a duty. Like for me, I was going to try to bring a picture, a little video of this. I love videos. I love visuals. But I have a little office room in our house, a couple little couches, my computer and everything's in there. But I'll typically light a candle. I'll get my little puppy dog with me because he's so comfortable. And then I'll just get my Bible and play some worship music from my Pandora. I think I've told you all this before. And I just spend some time, some quiet time in there in the mornings just to kind of set my day. And I tell you, God has done, I used to do that like under obligation. For years I did that under obligation. Like, I get in there and get my quiet time and get my Bible study done and do a devotion, you know, so I can grow. But once I disciplined myself to do that, it became more and more of a habit. And now I'm past the habits, like I'm craving it, like I have to have it, like I need it. I need that time with the Lord. I need that time to reset. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm going to be speaking more, a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So this week, I'm going to be speaking on hope, the hope that doesn't disappoint. But first I want to explain to you that progress, the idea of advancement, going forward in a course of action, an onward movement, an official journey to grow, to develop in a direction considered more beneficial than and superior to the previous level, is God's will for our lives. Every time, every person. And you can't be looking back. I know you've heard the story of well, what was his name? Lot and his wife, and going out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. And God said, leave that place and don't look back. Because if you look back, you will be destroyed. And she ended up looking back. I can't remember exactly why, but she looked back and she became a pillar of salt, like a pile of salt there. She died instantly because she looked back. And I think the picture that God wants us to think about when we hear that story is looking back is death. Looking forward is life. And that's what we have to do. We have to progress. We have to advance. Amen? So Romans 5:5 speaks of a hope that never disappoints. You can look at that up on your own. Write that down if you want. I didn't have any sermon notes for you today, but you can just write on the back of a bulletin or whatever you have. You can put it on your phone. We have to hope in God first before we can have faith in God. We have to have faith in God before we can be pleasing to God, before we can do anything. The Bible says that you can't be double-minded and have doubts and fears and things like that. I mean, we all have them, but you have to deal with them, and that's what I'm going to talk about next week. And we have to have that hope. We have to embrace a hope, the hope of God, the hope in His promises, the hope in His Word that He is good, He loves us, and He's going to take us to the next place that He has for us in our lives, which is progressive. Amen. I know of people from my dad's generation, namely my dad. I love my dad. He was a man of God. I respected and honor him so much. But he came from a generation, I think, that's hard to overcome fear, mostly, because they saw so many terrible things back in the war and so forth, World War II, and just growing up, they were so poor and everything. And so he used to tell me, I say, Dad, I'm going to do this year. You know, I remember when I got pregnant with Rachel. I'm going to get pregnant with another baby. I'm going to have a baby. Oh, Lord, don't get pregnant in this day and hour. Oh, Lord, have another baby in this world. It's terrible out there. It's going to be the end of the world. You know, I've been hearing that for years. And I finally just got sick of that. And I just said, look, I'm just going to believe God. Okay, you're just going to have to stand there and watch me. You know, believe God and see God's faithfulness. Amen. You know, so we can't be afraid to hope. He said, oh, Lord, it's better, Rebecca, to fear than, you know, to fear the worst. And then that way, if something good happens, you'll be okay. You'll be happy, you know. And if not, you'll be prepared. You'll be brave. You know, we can brace yourself for the worst. And we constantly had this discussion, and it was like, Dad, don't pull me down. I'm having a hard enough time, and it is. But before it was all over with, you know, my dad got healed of cancer on a couple of times. He believed God for amazing things, and he really overcame in that area, I'm happy to say. So he still struggled a little bit. Who doesn't? You know, that was a weakness in his life. But he was an awesome man of faith and a man of God. So I have a couple of things that we can do to embrace that hope that never disappoints. The first action would be to have a regular time of reflection. And a reflection is a careful consideration and thinking, observing, contemplation. John Maxwell, who's a world-renowned leader, leadership speaker, motivational speaker, you can look him up online. He's amazing. I really love him. He's got a lot of wisdom. He's got a lot of a good track record with this, with leadership. But he says, reflection turns experience into insight. It allows us to separate the good from the bad, the positive from the negative. It helps us sort out what we need to do next year. If we do enough reflection and in the right way, we'll be off and running in the new year. So many times, you know, people reflect, they think, oh, I got to think back all the horrible things, you know, the terrible choices I made and the bad decisions I made and try to correct them. Well, you can also look at the good things. You can separate them and say, well, this was good, this was bad. And I'm going to focus on the good, and I'm going to see how I can make the good better, and I'm going to see how I can overcome the bad that was there. And so you take that time, a regular time of reflection. You seek the Lord while you're reflecting. You pray, you seek the Lord. Take that quiet time to yourself. Do some humble self-evaluation. I mean, just be raw and honest before God, because really it's all between you and God. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter what other people think. It's everything's down to between you and God. And for you to go forward, you've got to be raw, you've got to be honest, and you've got to be like an open book with Him. and just make it happen. Amen. My favorite scripture is in Psalms 25, 4 through 5. I quote that all the time, and it says, basically, lead me in your wisdom. Lead me and guide me, for you are my God. You know, and you are my God. Is he our God? If he's our God, then we need to let him lead us and guide us. He is truth. Amen. Adam, let's put up Ephesians 5:17. I love this scripture. I found this scripture, years back, and I thought, wow, this is huge for everybody that claims to be a Christian. It says, don't be vague or thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. You know, there's no such thing as que sera sera in the kingdom of God. You got to know what God's will and plan is for your life. Or the Bible says also in Habakkuk, we're going to get to that in just a minute, and I'll show it to you. But, you know, you just have to have a vision. You have to write it down. You have to look at it in order for you to run, in order for you to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. We are no longer live for ourselves, the Bible says. When we're Christians, our life is not our own. It's the Lord's. So when we begin to feel like our life is our own, you know, we just start, you know, calling the plays and, you know, get on that wheel and things start happening. Many times for me, which I get to the point where I'm like either frustrated, angry, you know, miserable. There's no grace in that situation. There's no grace in that place. It's like, where is the grace? And about 5 years ago, I was doing leadership training here and just had been involved in so much through the years since we started the church. I led the music group for years and things like that. And I love ministry, and I was just like grinding at me. I was just, woo, like, you know, let's do this. And I actually kind of neglected the children, I think, personally, as I've looked back a little bit when they were little, because I was so involved in it. Although, I mean, you know, as it constantly was, you know, spending time with them, and I loved every second of it. As I look back, I was pretty spread pretty thin. And I think it culminated about 5 or 6 years ago. We went to a conference in Birmingham. It's going to be real open with you, okay, because this is real life. I just said, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to cry when I think about it. And in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, I've had it with this and that and this and you and, you know, everything. And it just was not the case. That was not the case. God was actually closing this door to open another door for me, because there was no longer grace for me to do that. And that's when it hit me. I said, I don't see there being a grace to continue to do what I'm doing. And I think God had to get me to that place where I realized there's something wrong with this picture for me to switch out. Because for me, I was just, you know, it was happening. I was loving it. I could just had a vision, you know, I was just going. And I just kind of came to the place where I said, God, this is it. You know, I'm not at rest. I'm not feeling the peace. I'm not feeling fulfillment. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm unsatisfied. And it wasn't because of any particular reason or person, really. It was just there was no grace for me to function in that role anymore, because God had something else for me. So I began to pray about it. It's just like a download, man. I felt so happy. There was so much peace that God wanted me to go back to school, to college. And I only just like took 1 year of nursing back in the day. And I am not a techie person. I admire people like Barbara Roberts. She's so techie at her age. She just picks stuff up, you know. And at that point in my life, I got the opportunity to go to a seminar to learn how to do meeting facilitation. God just opened that door. I tell you, it was amazing in Atlanta, the best facilitation company in the world, number one. And I got to go in a class with 24 people and with the CEO and founder of the company. It's called Leadership Strategies. My life was changed there, I tell you. When I went in there on that first day, it was a three-day thing. I did not even know what HR was, human resources. I was partnered up with a girl who was like in her 30s, who was in charge of facilitating meetings between the government and the Indians in the Everglades over ecology situations. And there were like 22 other people in our group, and they're like from Fortune 500 companies, and I'm sitting here going, I am a duck out of water here. I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm going to do. Rachel went with me, Brenda went with me to Atlanta to go through that course. First day, I was like, I am so confused here. I don't know why the Lord has me here for. The second day I came home, I'm in tears. I'm not going back, right? I can't go back. And so they partnered us. We had to do a presentation and everything, and they videotaped, and they partnered us with another person. And the girl that I was partnered with, I was at the hotel talking to her on the phone. We were planning our presentation. I said, I can't go back. I can't go. She goes, well, I feel like that too, and this is my job. I said, oh, Lord. I said, okay. Okay, let's do this. The next day, as I put one foot in front of the other, just moved forward, God provided us somebody that worked there to help us get from, you know, to figure out our whole presentation. Actually, when it ended up, ours was the best one. And I'm telling you, actually, everybody said, Rebecca, you're the best one in here. And it's just gifting. It's just, you know, it was just the ability to gift. And so I had to get a few skills. And I thought God was taking me into that direction, but really the door, you know, to actually do meeting facilitation in corporations and so forth. But actually the Lord took that and used it, and it took me to the next place, which was to enroll in school. And I enrolled at Santa Fe, and my daughter Rachel got a degree in education communication at UF, for those of you who don't know my story. And every time she'd come home, she'd bring these leadership books home and everything. I just think, I love this stuff. I know half of this stuff because I've done a lot of self-study and self-training through the years. So I thought, you know what? I wouldn't mind doing that. She goes, Mother, do it. And so it's just like one thing led to another, and the doors opened up. And I just want to encourage y'all today that God will lead you step by step. But boy, if you just, you know, take it on your own, at any point you'll not ride that wave of grace. I call it a wave of grace. I'm just on that wave. I tell you, I have so much favor up there. When I go up there, there's the money. There's the class. I'll tell you, I have to give you one quick testimony. I'm not that strong in math. I have to take two math classes and biology classes this semester. I'm supposed to graduate, and Avram will be at UF by fall. And I was telling my advisor, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I need this teacher, but because I have I'm over 60, I can take free classes. But I can't register till the last day of ad. All the good teachers are typically gone, right? And so I'm like, oh, Lord, if I get a bad teacher, I'll fail. Who knows when I'll ever get out of Santa Fe. So I was like, Lord, you know, it's in your hands. I mean, I tweak it every semester. I just put it to God. I say, if you don't want me to finish, I won't. It's like, no. Keep going. So I went to my advisor. She goes, go see the head of the math department. Go tell her right now. Tell her you want her to reserve you some seats in a class. Reserve a seat in the class. Okay. So I went up there. I was like, I was telling her everything. I said, I'm not good in math. And I just really, I have to take two math classes. And she said, what do you want me to do for you? I said, can you get me a seat in that? My advisor said, you give me a seat in that teacher's class? She said, of course. You got it. Just do this, this, and this. Then when I got home, I sent her an email, and I said, I actually have to take two classes. Can you get me a seat in this other class? She said, sure. Just do this, this, and this. And I tell you, it is just riding away, and I'm so excited. And I have so much joy and so much peace. It's not easy. I still had to put one foot in front of the other. I still had to face the fear of, oh, my gosh, college algebra this summer, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, God's grace is sufficient. So we don't need to be vague or thoughtless and foolish. Foolish is in that bundle. But understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. So that's one of my challenges for you. That's what we have to do in our reflection is ask the Lord, you know, what is your will for me? There's a story in Matthew 5:22 about the parable of the virgins. Now, if you're familiar with it, if you're not, you can look it up, Matthew 5. And basically, there's a group of women that are foolish and a group of women that are wise. And the foolish women had their lamps to see where they're going, you know, and they were going to go to the wedding. The wise women had their lamps too. But the foolish neglected to get their oil for their lamps so they could actually burn those lamps. And the wise took oil for themselves. They knew that they had their responsibility to take care of themselves. And so they were getting ready to go. The groom was calling for everybody to come to the wedding. And the wise women took their lamps, put the oil in, turned them on, took off, went into the wedding. The door was shut. The foolish were like, oh, my gosh, give it. And before that happened, they were like, give us some of your oil. They said, no, you got to get your own oil. And that's the way it is. We've got to get our own oil. And oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to get our own Holy Spirit power to go forward with God. Amen? So we need to do that, not be foolish, because once the door is shut, guess what? That's a lost opportunity, and that's just the way it is. That's reality. That's life. And many times we lose our opportunities. And then God will, by his mercy and grace, give us a plan B. But we've got to have the wherewithal within us to go, you know what? I've got to go forward. I've got to stick with the Lord. Amen? Okay, so let's see. A second helpful action would be to practice inscription. That means to write something down that is of significance. And so when I have journals like this, journaling is really awesome. Just these little 89-cent things you get at Walmart and or somewhere, or you can get a fancy journal at Ross or the bookstore or something. But whatever, you know, and just every day I just get in there and I write this down. Lee Iacocca, who was an automobile executive, he spearheaded the design for the Ford Mustang and Pinto in the 60s. He was responsible for reviving Chrysler in the 80s. He said, the discipline of writing something down is the first step toward making it happen. I mean, when you see somebody that is so successful in life, and I believe he was a Christian, but he says something like this, don't you think we ought to listen? So, and also the Bible backs that up in Habakkuk 2:2. The Lord, Habakkuk the prophet said, the Lord said to me, write the vision and make it plain so that the one who reads it will run. Why do we need that written down? Why do we need things written down? So we can look at it. So we can run the way that we feel like God's telling us to run. Amen? So let's see. So we have to take some quiet time with God and do a self-evaluation, and then we need to start writing things down. I have a little video of a woman that was in my small group last semester. I had a small group called Devoted, and it was about encouraging women to get closer to the Lord and to seek him and the various ways of doing that. One of them was journaling, and this was actually Emily's grandmother and Dana's mother, and she was so touched. She was so changed. Her life was absolutely changed by journaling, writing things down, and spending time with the Lord. And the video quality's not good because she was so gracious to let me videotape her in my living room on my phone. But listen to what she's saying. And so go ahead and roll that, please. It's so good, I think.
In connection with our devoted prayer group that Rebecca was kind enough to host several weeks back, she introduced a concept that was kind of new to me, and that was journaling your thoughts as you are doing your devotionals. And I think that just taking that time to record my thoughts actually brought me to a serenity and a peace that I hadn't experienced in quite a while, and allowed me to connect more. And the whole goal of our devotion was a closer walk with God. And I really feel like I accomplished that. And since our prayer group ended, I have continued to do the journaling and continued to do a daily devotional. And it's made a huge difference in the way I approach life and stress and just daily activities. It's actually been a really rewarding experience for me. And I'd recommend that people try that and see if that makes a difference for you as well.
Amen. I've got another thing here that Jan made me. She keeps me supplied. Oh, my. Let's give Gomer a hand. Isn't this beautiful? This is like a vision board. It says prayers at the bottom. She put, do not be discouraged. Or I guess Gomer did. Amen. So you can put prayers on here, but you've seen those little vision boards you can get at Michael's or something. Get one. And just start putting things up there that you can look at, you know, and pin them there and pray over them every day. Amen? All right. And so take some time, seek God, journal, take some time of self-evaluation before God and inscribe the vision. Write it down. Next week, I'm going to be talking more about you know, boots on the ground kind of thing, taking your hope to faith. It's going to be really, really good. This video will be on our website and on Facebook. I mean, some of this may be old hat for some of you, but just maybe you can send it to somebody that needs to hear it. and to apply it to their life. But I want to challenge you today, even if you've heard it, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, the Bible says. Do it. Take what you've heard, because now you're responsible for it. And take it to the next level and just grow with the Lord and progress in 2018. And look back not in a negative light, be realistic, but look forward in faith. And next week we're going to be able to just launch you out into that fast where you can just really show the Lord that you mean business. You want his help. We all need his help. Amen. And the best way to do that is just to humble ourselves before him and then put into practice what he wants of us. Don't lose any ground. That's my main message of you today, for you today, is don't lose ground from here. You don't have to. God's grace is sufficient. He's amazing. Well, I've asked my wonderful daughter and son-in-law to come over and support me in this venture today from Jacksonville. And Christina is just an anointed minister of music, and there's a song that I absolutely love by Bethel Music, and I'll ask her to sing it. So I just want you to be prayerful right now as she sings it, and we're going to be able to just worship the Lord, and let this be your prayer today for him. Amen? And that's it, y'all. God bless you. See you next year.
Let's just sing this together and sing hallelujah. And we just declare this over 2018, that God is sovereign and he reigns over everything in this world and in our lives. So we just declare this over our lives for this coming year. And we praise him in advance that he reigns. Amen. Just sing it out. Hallelujah, Lord.
Y'all go ahead and be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel the presence of the Lord in here. I trust the Lord has ministered to you with the message, something to take home and think about and be preparing for next week. We never like to close a service without giving you an opportunity. Maybe there's somebody that you want to start the year off. You want to be sure that you're right with God. If I asked you if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so, hope so, not sure. Don't go into 2018 not sure. It's a very important consequence to not be sure about. You say, do you really know? Is there a way to know? Yes. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that. You get eternal life by simply surrendering your life to Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed, that's the decision I want to ask you. Maybe you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that. Maybe you've done it, but today you want to get a fresh start. You want to go into 2018 with a fresh start with God. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But right where you're seated, if either of those apply to you, you want to be sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Or you want to get back on track. You want to recommit your life. Finish 2017 and start 2018 in a different way. You say, that's me, Pastor. I'm making a decision right now. Just slip up your hand real quick. Thanks. Anybody else? Thank you. All right, I'm gonna lead you in a prayer right where you're seated. Everybody pray with him. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Praise God. Wasn't that a great message?